I don't need you to fix this right now. I just need to hear me. That landed, not because it was dramatic, but because it exposed something uncomfortable in me. Sometimes my helpfulness is really my discomfort trying to escape. I think I'm offering care, but I'm actually rushing another person's pain out of the room.
Welcome to Why I Love, the podcast where we explore a simple but powerful truth. Before we can truly love others, we have to learn how to treat ourselves with honesty and care. In a world full of noise, distraction, and division, this is a space to slow down, reconnect, and remember what makes us human. I'm Nigel, and today we're talking about the listening fast, hearing yourself so you can hear your neighbor.
The word fast can sound severe. It can sound like deprivation, discipline, or one more test we have to pass. That is not what I mean here. The listening fast is a brief decision to put down whatever is keeping you from noticing the truth of the moment. Maybe it is your phone. Maybe it is the need to look composed. Maybe it is the habit of solving everybody else's problem before admitting that you are tired.
So let me ask you something. What might you hear if you stopped performing for a few minutes? If you stopped scrolling, stopped rehearsing your next answer, and stopped trying to make every uncomfortable feeling disappear? And what might someone near you finally feel if you offered them that same unhurried attention?
Most of us are rarely without input. A message arrives, a video starts, an alert flashes. We move from one conversation to another while carrying three older conversations in our heads. Even silence can feel crowded. The mind reviews yesterday, predicts tomorrow, and drafts a reply to someone who has not even finished speaking.
Activity can become a hiding place. We answer everyone else while ignoring our own exhaustion. We give advice before admitting that we are afraid. We stay useful because usefulness feels safer than vulnerability. Then the feelings we avoided show up somewhere else. Impatience, defensiveness, numbness, or a reaction that is much bigger than the moment seems to deserve.
I learned this in a grocery store parking lot. A friend and I were sitting in a parked car with the engine off. The afternoon light was fading, and their hands were still resting on the steering wheel. They had just come from a difficult meeting, and their voice was quiet, in that particular way people get when they are trying not to fall apart.
They started telling me what had happened. I was listening, technically. I was making eye contact. I was saying, I understand. But my phone was beside my leg, and I glanced at it twice. More importantly, I was already designing a solution. I was thinking about what they should say tomorrow, who they should email, and how this whole situation could be made efficient.
They paused. Their hands stayed on the wheel. Then they looked over and said, I don't need you to fix this right now. I just need you to hear me. I wanted to defend myself. I wanted to say, I am hearing you. But I knew what they meant. My body was there. My attention was somewhere else.
So I put my phone face down. I stopped building the answer. I asked, what part of this has been hardest? Then I listened. Not perfectly. I still had the urge to jump in. I still thought of several things I could say. But I let the story finish before I tried to improve it.
I said, that sounds exhausting, and I can understand why that hurt. I did not agree with every conclusion. I did not need to. Understanding a person's experience is not the same as endorsing every interpretation. It is simply a willingness to stand close enough to reality that you can see what they are actually carrying.
The meeting did not magically disappear. The next day still needed a plan, but the conversation changed. My friend no longer had to prove that their feelings mattered, and I no longer had to perform as the person who could make everything all right. For a few minutes, we were just two human beings, telling the truth as best we could. That moment turned the question back toward me. Was I offering myself the same patience I wanted to offer other people?
If a friend said, "I'm overwhelmed," I would not call them weak. Why did I treat my own overwhelm like evidence that I was failing? If I could give someone else time to find the right words, why did I demand instant clarity from myself?
The listening fast begins here, not with a perfect spiritual posture and not with an empty mind. Honestly, I would not know what to do with an empty mind. It begins with noticing. What is happening in me right now? What am I carrying into this conversation? What am I trying not to feel?
That matters because another person's feelings pass through the space we create inside ourselves. If I am exhausted and pretending not to be, your sadness may feel like an interruption. If I am afraid of being blamed, your frustration may sound like an attack. If I am desperate to be admired, I may turn your story into a stage for my wisdom.
Self-listening does not mean obeying every feeling. A feeling can be real without being the whole truth. Feeling rejected does not always mean someone has rejected you. Feeling angry does not mean anger should choose your words. Feeling tired does not mean you are lazy. Listening is not surrendering your judgment. It is gathering honest information before deciding how to respond. Think of an emotion as a warning light on a dashboard. You would not smash the light because it was inconvenient. You would not let it drive the car either. You would pause and ask what it was pointing toward. Fatigue, grief, loneliness, disappointment, a crossed boundary, a need for reassurance. The signal deserves attention, but it does not automatically get the steering wheel.
This is why self-compassion is not self-indulgence. It is preparation for relationship. When I can say, "There is fear in me right now," and I can meet it with care, I have more freedom. I do not have to win the conversation. I do not have to prove that I am right. I can become interested in what is actually happening.
And caring for yourself does not place you above anyone else. It means recognizing that you are also a human being who deserves honesty, rest, accountability, and kindness. When your worth is not constantly up for negotiation, another person's need does not have to compete with your existence. You can care for them without abandoning yourself.
There is an important complication here. What if you are the one who is always listening? What if every conversation becomes a place where someone else unloads, and your needs are expected to wait? Compassion cannot mean becoming the emotional furniture in someone else's life. You are not required to stay available when you are depleted, threatened, or treated with contempt.
You can say, "I care about this, but I do not have the capacity to talk well right now." You can say, "I can listen for 10 minutes, and then I need to rest." You can say, "I want to understand you, but I will not continue while we are insulting each other." Presence requires consent. Healthy listening includes reciprocity, safety, and limits.
The practice also does not require abandoning technology. Your phone can help you connect. The question is whether it is serving connection or helping you avoid it. A listening fast might be 10 minutes with notifications turned off. It might be leaving your phone in another room during a meal. It might be taking a short walk without filling every step with audio.
Here are the three movements. Notice what is happening within you. Name it with kindness. Then offer one person your undivided presence. That is all. No performance standard, no special equipment, no need to become a perfectly calm person before you begin.
First, notice. Before you reach for your phone or say, "I'm fine," pause. Ask, "What is happening in me right now?" Maybe your shoulders are tight. Maybe your mind is racing. Maybe you feel relieved, joyful, lonely, or irritated. Maybe nothing is clear. That is okay. You are not taking an exam. You are beginning to pay attention.
Second, name it kindly. Instead of, "I am being ridiculous," try, "I am feeling uneasy." Instead of, "I should be over this by now," try, "Something in me is still hurting." Instead of, "I am failing at everything,"
Try, I am tired and I may need support. A harsh label closes the door. A kind name leaves it open.
Third, offer someone 5 minutes of genuine attention. Ask first, do you have the energy to talk? Or would you like me to listen, help you think through options, or simply sit with you? That question changes the whole conversation. Sometimes people want ideas. Sometimes they want comfort. Sometimes they are not ready to talk. Listening includes respecting the answer.
During those 5 minutes, try reflecting instead of correcting. Say, what I'm hearing is that you felt overlooked. Ask, did I understand that correctly? Try, that makes sense from where you were standing. These phrases do not require agreement with every conclusion. They simply communicate that understanding comes before evaluation.
And if you notice yourself preparing a solution, do not shame yourself. Just notice that too. You can think, there is my fixing instinct. Then return to the person. What did they actually say? What emotion is underneath the words? What would it feel like to let this moment be about understanding rather than demonstrating how useful you are?
If this practice brings up something overwhelming, stop. Look around the room. Feel your feet on the floor. Reach out to someone trustworthy or seek support from a qualified professional. You do not have to force open every door in one sitting. The goal is a safer, more honest relationship with yourself, built one moment at a time.
Let's try a brief version together. If you are driving, operating equipment, or doing anything that requires your full attention, stay focused on safety. Otherwise, settle into a comfortable position. You can close your eyes or simply soften your gaze. There is nothing to accomplish here.
Now ask yourself, what have I been carrying today? Do not search for the most impressive answer. Let the first honest answer be enough. Pressure? Disappointment? The effort of appearing cheerful? A quiet gratitude? Something you cannot name yet. Whatever comes, notice it without arguing.
Ask, what feeling has been asking for my attention? Give it a simple name if you can. Sad, worried, lonely, tired, hopeful, frustrated, peaceful. If no word arrives, you can say, something is here. That is an honest beginning.
Now offer yourself one sentence that is kind and believable. Maybe, I am allowed to be human while I am learning. Maybe, I do not have to solve everything today. Maybe, my needs matter, and other people's needs matter too. Choose the sentence that feels honest, not merely beautiful. Let it rest with you for one breath.
Bring to mind one person you could listen to with greater presence. Before you contact them, consider your capacity. Can you offer 5 respectful minutes? Do they want to talk? Is the relationship safe enough for an honest conversation? Listening can lead to closeness, repair, a boundary, or a wise decision to wait.
Take one more slow breath. Feel your feet. Look around the room and notice 3 things you can see. Let your attention return to the present. Maybe you feel calmer. Maybe you feel more aware of something tender. Maybe you feel exactly as you did before. There is no wrong result. You practice turning toward your life with a little less judgment.
That is the practice in ordinary life. Reduce the noise long enough to notice. Name what you find without attacking yourself. Then bring that steadiness into one relationship, not to control the outcome, not to become responsible for another person's emotions, just to offer the dignity of being heard.
A brilliant answer can be useful. Sometimes a practical step is exactly what someone needs, but many moments do not require perfect words. They require someone who is willing to stay.
A quiet, attentive presence can help another person hear their own wisdom. It can lower the temperature of a tense conversation. It can remind a lonely heart that it has not disappeared from the world.
The practice begins with you, not because you are the only person who matters, but because you are part of the human circle you are trying to care for. When you listen inwardly, you may discover that you need rest instead of another demand. You may discover that you owe someone an apology. You may discover that you need a boundary. Beneath irritation, there may be grief. Beneath grief, there may be love.
So try one modest experiment today. Put your phone away for 10 minutes and notice what rises. Write down one feeling without criticizing it. Ask someone, how are you really doing? Then listen long enough for the first answer to become the second answer. If the conversation needs more time, make a plan. If you do not have the capacity, say so. Sincere limits are kinder than distracted promises.
You could make this a 3-minute daily ritual. Notice the inner signal. Name it kindly. Consider one person who might receive your attention. Over time, you may interrupt less. You may defend yourself less quickly. You may hear the pain beneath someone's anger or the longing beneath someone's silence. Not always, not perfectly, but more often.
Connection does not require everyone to agree about everything. It grows when people are willing to recognize one another's humanity, even in moments of difference. We listen to understand, not to collect ammunition. We listen to learn, not to dominate. We listen to ourselves, so we are less likely to make another person pay for wounds we have never acknowledged.
Sometimes listening reveals that a relationship needs repair. Sometimes it reveals that distance is wise. Sometimes the loving response is a conversation, and sometimes it is a clear boundary. Listening does not hand us one automatic answer. It gives us a truer place from which to choose.
If you remember one thing from today, remember this. Attention is not a small gift. When you listen to yourself with compassion, you create room to listen to your neighbor without fear. When you listen to another person without rushing to fix them, you offer love that does not depend on having the perfect answer. Presence may not solve everything, but it can help someone stop feeling alone inside the problem.
Thank you for spending this time with me on Why I Love. If this conversation gave you a moment of recognition or reminded you of someone who needs to feel heard, share the episode with them. And if you want more reflections on self-acceptance, connection, and the love that begins within, subscribe to the podcast so we can continue this journey together.
Before we go, take one small moment to listen. Listen to your breath. Listen to the truth you have been carrying. Listen for the person near you who may not need a solution as much as they need your presence. Love within, love without. Let's begin the journey. Love who you are and watch the world change. Until next time, keep choosing love.